Good morning, everyone, to the State Partner webinar. My name is Sinepa Hackman. I am the program coordinator for the Delta Regional Community Health Systems Development Program with the National Rural Health Resource Center. I'd like to welcome you all to today's State Partner webinar. We're glad you could take the time to be here with us this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to go over a few housekeeping details. When you call in, your phone line will be muted. To unmute or remute your individual line, press star 2. Once you call in, please keep your computer speakers on mute to avoid any echo or feedback. You can communicate via the chat box at any time, which is located on the left-hand side of the screen. We will go over any questions at the end of the presentation. And the file share box, which is located on the lower left corner underneath the chat box, contains a copy of today's webinar materials. When you click on the name of the file in the file share box, you can then click on the download button to download that file directly to your computer. Thank you. Today's webinar will be recorded, and once that is uploaded, we will send a link to that to everyone. Now I'd like to turn it over to Bethany Adams at the National Rural Health Resource Center to get us started.
Thank you, Sinepa, and welcome everyone to the Delta Region Community Health Systems Development State Partner webinar. We're glad that you're able to join us today, and would like to extend a welcome from the entire center and particularly the Delta team. So on today's call, we just really wanted to give an overview of the program purpose and the goals again to set the stage, because everything that we do obviously goes back to support, help the hospitals meet program goals and support them in meeting the purpose of the program. So all activities are planned around the 8 goals. We'd like to follow up on the application process. Stop and really have a good conversation regarding the community care coordination. It really is the meat of the program, and you'll hear more about that coming up. It's very important. It does really help create the infrastructure where the hospitals will be managing their population health in the future. And then our team is going to highlight some of the activities for year 2. We are currently in year 2, and the hospitals participate in this program over 3 years. So you will hear the different activities of what they're currently doing and where they're pushing them for next steps for the remainder of this program year, which ends in September. And then, of course, we want to give you a little time for questions and answers. And feel free to add in your questions and comments to the text box. And I'd like to take a moment first to just really recognize the Delta Regional Authority and the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy. It really is through their insight to recognize that hospitals and rural communities need long-term assistance, particularly with helping with implementation. And providing them with additional resources to position them for population health of the future. So the Delta Regional Authority, which is a federal state partnership, if you're not familiar with them, partnered with the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy to support this program. So currently we do have these 10 hospitals or organizations that are working with us right now for years 1 and 2. And I believe we've shared regional updates by state from our staff to you. This is our second specific state partner call. We had one about this time last year. And then you should be receiving a regular email update from our team on these of the activities that are going on. And we encourage you to feel free to call me, Kate, anyone on our team, feel free to send us an email if you have specific questions about activities in your state and how we can better facilitate the communication. We do want to keep you up to date and engaged in the project. And also, we'd like to highlight, since we're going to be opening the application up to a rolling application, reiterate the eligibility statement. It is based on Delta Regional Authority's eligibility statement, and eligible applicants do include critical access hospitals, small rural hospitals that are PPS, and that can be, you know, maybe up to about 100 beds, plus minus, some rural health clinics, and if there's other healthcare organizations that meet that criteria for the Delta Regional Authority, all is welcome to apply. The key point is they must be located in a one of the 252 federally designated DRA counties or parishes in that region. It needs to be at least one of the applicants. There's not specific wording about a particular office or being required, the head office or the corporate office being located there. But I believe that's considered, say, a one-on-one basis. But most likely that, yes, the organization does need to be located in one of the counties. And so I believe you've all seen this, the purpose statement and the program goals. Again, the purpose of this program is to help them make in-depth system enhancements. So that's a comprehensive approach from a perspective of helping the hospital to improve financial position, increasing operational efficiencies, improving quality of care, a big focus on transitions of care, as well as then the other program goals of, you know, helping them to address workforce issues, education and training to support capacity building there at the local level. There's a big focus on telehealth and telemedicine and helping them to utilize funds to improve that from an operations perspective to position them for the future. And another big piece, ensuring access to emergency medical services. All of this in addition to helping them to create the community care coordination plan, which is not optional, it is a requirement, and to help them think about integrating those social services, again, creating that local system of care and position them to help them manage for population health in the future. And so this is a large project. It does require a big commitment. So they need to be willing, ready, and able to undertake a large project such as this, and also be willing, ready, and able to develop a community care coordination plan in addition to working with us to provide, perform various assessments and action planning sessions, again, to meet all the previous goals. Financial improvement, quality improvement, and increasing operational efficiencies. So they need to be ready to follow through. It is a large project. However, the benefits are very extensive. So they do get direct on-site comprehensive one-on-one consultation from some of the best consultants in the country, such as BKD and Stroudwaters, and then off-site coaching from subject matter experts, and this is ongoing, with a real emphasis on that one-on-one assistance to helping them to implement the recommendations. So while there is a large focus on, yes, the larger projects include assessments and action planning, another large piece of this program really focuses on the technical systems to help them with the implementation portion to help make it sustainable. And again, a large piece with community care coordination. The program also supports the hospitals and clinics that are participating in the program with the community champions to put boots on the ground to help them with this. They act as a liaison and help us communicate effectively, not only with the hospital clinic team, but also right there in the community. And then various other type of feasibility and assessment studies are supported as it's identified, again, with the overall intent to help them build sustainability over time. So we are opening the application period up. It will be open and rolling, and so there's no deadlines. Hospitals can apply anytime for the next upcoming funding cycle. We are anticipating to be selecting an additional 10 hospitals this fall. So we want to say thank you so much for all your hard work and building awareness with your hospitals about this funding opportunity. And a special thank you from me personally, because I know I've been filling up your email boxes with this information and asking you to reach out to your hospitals to make them aware. And if any of the leaders have questions, I'm happy to answer one-on-one. And you know, if you believe it would be helpful to have a small group call just for your hospitals, I'm happy to do that. So again, thank you for encouraging your hospitals to submit an application. And again, sooner than later, because we will begin the application review process over in the next couple of weeks, which consists of a scheduled call with the leadership to share more information about the purpose and goals, and a little more in-depth discussion regarding the different activities, just to make sure they understand the depth and scope of this project. So I just like to stop here for a moment before I transition over to Selena. I just wanted to also reach out and say many thanks to Paul Gardner there in Mississippi and Rebecca Bradley there in Tennessee for your participation in your two new hospitals meet and greets. That was very successful and brought a lot of additional resources and really showed the hospital teams that we do work as partners. And it was so beneficial for them to hear of how the programs can enhance and not just duplicate and make them more aware of the various resources. So moving forward with this next group of hospitals in the fall, we will reaching out to the different state partners so that invite you to some of the meet and greets. If you're not able to go to a meet and greet, we'll try to get you out to one of the community care coordination planning events. And again, it's just a great opportunity to see firsthand how the program is assisting the hospital community, and a fantastic opportunity for you to share as a state partner available resources. But that was very successful. And again, a very special thank you to Rebecca and Paul. With that, as we move forward with sharing some of the activities to help the hospitals create that path to value, we're always promoting the concept of building and showing value taking actions, implementing best practices that position them for population health. So we utilize this slide quite often. And with that, we're going to pass it on to Selena, and she's going to share more in depth about the community care coordination planning. Selena?
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Bethany. Again, my name is Selena McCord, and I'm the program specialist with the Delta program. So my role and capacity is to assist with the community care coordination piece primarily, along with the other program activities. So I just want to take some time to talk a little bit about community care coordination. It's important to note that this part of the program is essential. And we define community care coordination as an open forum for building collaborative relationships and partnerships with the local health and social services provider. We like to use this graphic at the bottom of the slide to just show how these different health and social providers are essential to building community care coordination. We also define CCC as a mechanism to transform the local care delivery system. So establishing the idea that care coordination goes beyond the hospital or the clinic walls. It is also a venue for continued improvements in quality of care, patient experience, as well as operational efficiency. And most importantly, it is the infrastructure for this program that we believe will help manage population health for the future. There are several benefits of community care coordination. Not only improving the community health outcomes and building the partnerships, but the planning behind community care coordination helps leaders and providers to begin coordinating local care to fill those gaps in services by maximizing and increasing effective utilization of the resources from local health and social providers with the community to help reduce duplication of services. Another benefit is that it helps to promote available services and quality of care to reduce out-migration by building community awareness of the available services and by improving the community's perception of those services at the hospital or other local services in the area. Another benefit is that it improves hospital operational efficiency and financial viability by improving reimbursements. We are now aware that revenue will be tied to quality of care and patient satisfaction. So this will be important for the hospitals and clinics that are a part of the program. And lastly, another benefit is to position the hospital and providers for population health. Okay, and I'll pause here and turn it over to Kate Stenya.
Thank you, Selena, and good morning, everyone. I just want to echo what Bethany and Selena had said and welcome everybody today. We really appreciate you guys taking the time today to listen to this information that we're sharing and your support of this program. Before I go ahead and go through a few more slides with everyone, I just want to give a reminder that if you have any questions as we're going through, I know it is a lot of information, to please feel free to use that chat box, or if you press star 2, feel free to interrupt me at any time as well to ask a question over the phone. We'd like to hear from you guys and see if you have any questions or comments as we're going through this, but I will also open it up for questions at the end. So the slide we're on right now, this is a screenshot of what we have going on for the hospitals and clinics that are currently in their year 2 activities. So that is the majority of them, the big group that we started with about a year and a half ago. So right now you can see the Hospital Clinic Learning Collaborative that still takes place on a quarterly basis. And then sites that are in their second year are finishing up their revenue cycle management, physician practice management consultations with BKD, the consulting firm BKD. Sites that are in their first year, so Harden and South Sunflower, are working with Stroudwater consultants on their financial operational assessment and their quality improvement assessment. We are also right in the process right now of all of the sites having their telehealth on-site assessments, and that is done through the University of Arkansas Medical Services, their Center for Distance Health. They are the group that's going on-site and doing the telehealth assessments. And just so everyone on the phone is clear, they're going on site, and I'll get a little bit more into this on some coming up slides, but they're not there to actually provide telehealth services, they're just there to go and assess the needs as far as equipment and that sorts of thing and services that are they could benefit from telehealth. I'll also, we're in getting into workforce development, so leadership training and our leadership development and management training. That's a workforce development piece, and I'll get into more information on that in some upcoming slides. And then we are on our community care coordination site visits. We're kind of finalizing at the point right now where we're finalizing their second on-site visit with most of the facilities, and we will be going into hosting the third on-site visit later this summer. So lots and lots of activities that are going on in the facilities. To give a little bit more information about the telehealth assessment, so again, this is done with the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences, their Center for Distance Health. They're really there to look at identifying opportunities on how to integrate telehealth to fill those gaps and grow services and address additional operational and cultural challenges. So after they go on site, they write up a report to provide recommendations on the broadband that's needed, any equipment, hardware, software, and/or training, looking at the implementation process, also looking at reimbursement. I know we've had lots of questions come through with this telehealth stuff, discussing telehealth coding and questions surrounding the coding and billing for telehealth services. They're also looking at helping them track measures to really drive their performance excellence. So a little bit more with the telehealth. After they complete their telehealth on-site assessment and they have their report back from UAMS, right now we're working on pulling together information for the sites to be able to request reimbursement for specific equipment and or implementation support for telehealth. And so the sites will, after they have their assessment, will be able to submit their funding requests. And then upon receipt of that request, we here at the National Rural Health Resource Center will review and determine the funding and then send a letter of award to the project lead. So that should be, we're hoping to get that information sent out actually by the end of this week. So some of the facilities I know are really ready to move forward with that piece. So I had noted before that we were working on developing leadership and management training skills. So just a brief background on this. We started last fall with the facilities to do an employee satisfaction assessment. And after those were open for about 4 weeks, the majority of the facilities that we are working with hadn't done an assessment, employee satisfaction assessment, in several years or had never done one. So this was a really, really great opportunity for them to do an assessment and for us to be able to really see, get a little bit more background on the culture and some issues that they might be dealing with at these specific facilities. So after the employee satisfaction assessment was completed, we wrote up a report and then we did a presentation with their executive teams to really look at all the feedback that came out of those employee satisfaction assessments and identifying priority areas of where they wanted to focus their leadership development and management training. So we're very excited. Just this last week, we had sent out a request for information, a request for proposal, for different for consulting firms to send in information on what they could provide for this particular topic. And we pulled all of that. We chose the ones that were the best fit. And then with all of that information, we pulled that together and were able to send it out to the facilities so that they can kind of see what we'd call a menu of services. And I'll be working with them going forward to really hone that in and work with the consultants to develop a scope of work and move these trainings forward. So we're very excited about that piece, and that is all taking place right now. So again, this is just the on-site leadership development training. They will start no matter what. We'll have some on-site leadership training, and then they can also do some, we have some off-site options that could be done after that, done virtually. The timeline for this is really looking at that the consultants would be on-site would be May through July. So one other piece that we have going on, as all of you know already, the consultants go on site to do the financial operational assessment, the quality improvement assessment, the revenue cycle management, and physician practice management pieces. And after that, they come back with the report and their recommendations, their action plans for the sites. Really great information that comes out of these consultations. A lot of the facilities sometimes can get the information and then get a little stuck on how to move forward. So we're just thrilled that there is support within this program to provide implementation for technical assistance, on-site implementation, so people consultants can go on-site and really help them move all of their recommendations, and action plans forward. So we're also in process of that. I know Bethany is working hard on that to get that rolled up and sent out to the sites. Oops, went too fast there. This slide right here just is a visual for you guys to see what the approach to sustainability is. And it just shows the program's approach to sustainability and that the key is really systematic planning and developing the path to value, again, that positions the organization to move into the future of population health. Some dates to note, we have coming up in September 24th and 25th, will be our summit. I know several of you were able to join us last year, which was wonderful. We held it in Little Rock. This year, it will be held in Memphis. The first day, that 24th, will be open to state partners to hear from all of the hospitals in the clinic on the activities and what the updates on everything that's going on. And then September 25th will be really focused on the hospital and clinic workshops. So the second day will be really focused more specific on their workshop pieces. This is just our website. If you ever need at your state any resources or tools, we've got lots of information on here. And we encourage you to go in there and ask us if you have anything that you can't find, if you think that we have a specific resource on it. And that is all I have. So right now I'm going to open it back up to Bethany as well and open it to everyone to see if you have questions or comments.
Thanks so much.
And I know that we also, have our Federal Office of Rural Health Policy Project Officer. It looks like she is also on the call. So I just wanted to chime in Rachel Moscato as well to see if she has any comments or questions. And remember, it's *2 to unmute your line, or you can use the chat box.
Thanks, Kate. So this was a really great overview of the program, and I hope it was helpful for all of our folks at the state level. I know most of you have been working hard to get these applications out and make sure people, are aware of the program. And so as you continue doing that, feel free to reach out to me at any time with questions or concerns. We're always happy to help here at the federal office. And we just really appreciate all of your support in getting hospitals to apply for the program.
Are there any questions regarding the application process or eligible hospitals? Any questions about the program? Well, Rachel, thank you very much for chiming in and helping us to wrap up this call. And again, we just really want to extend a very special thank you to our state partners. We cannot do this by ourselves. This truly requires a village and then some. And again, it's through your outreach and encouragement that we are going to be able to have, a good selection of applicants and the right applicants. And that's why we're really looking for you. We're really looking for those hospitals and communities that can benefit from this and have a good faith effort of implementing the recommendations, best practices, and working with us to identify what works. We want to see them succeed, and in that process over time, we'll be learning from them and rolling the information back out to other hospitals across the country. So it is important to have a hospital that can truly benefit and be willing, ready, and able, and then therefore, your identification of those hospitals is really essential. And so, again, thank you so much for your outreach efforts. With that, there's no other questions, then I guess we will adjourn. We will send you notes and a playback today's call. And as always, feel free to contact us anytime. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks.